Continue to consider seventh commandment. We've been looking at this for quite a while. There's much here, certainly, that is relevant. Not that the other commandments aren't, but very relevant to today. Been looking at some of the things forbidden other than the actual physical act of adultery. And again, we've stressed that anything that would contribute to or promote in any way the physical act would be forbidden in the commandment. Began looking last week that one of the things forbidden is immodest dress. In 1 Timothy 2 and verse 9, we read that women, and applies to men as well, are to adorn themselves in modest apparel. And we'll look more at that verse at a later date, but what that means is that we're not to dress in a forward way, a suggestive way, a way that would call attention to. We're to dress in a way that is free from anything that would suggest sexual impurity or promote sexual impurity in someone else. We began last week looking at the fact that the Bible condemns nakedness. Again, there are many today who it is their philosophy and it's based on a wrong premise. It's their philosophy that there's nothing wrong with nakedness. God created the human body. The human body is a beautiful thing. Therefore, there's nothing wrong with displaying it. Well, that whole reasoning is, again, based entirely upon a wrong premise, and certainly there's no understanding there concerning the nature of man. But we do know that there was a time when there was nakedness and there was no shame in that nakedness. We looked at that last week. Of course, Adam and Eve, we read in Genesis 2 and verse 25. And what's important is verse 24, the wife and one flesh, and they, Adam and Eve, husband and wife, were both naked, the man and his wife. So it's stressed there. And we're not ashamed. And people will say, I'm not ashamed of showing my body. But things changed since Genesis 2, verse 25. What changed, of course, was Adam and Eve sinned. And we know from Romans chapter 5 that because of their sin, we're all born with a sinful nature. In Genesis 3, again, this is review, verse 7, in the eyes of them both, this is after they sinned, were opened. That is, they were opened in a way that they were not opened before. And this is not a positive thing, this is a negative thing. So their eyes were opened. And their eyes being open, they knew that they were naked. They didn't know it before. And knowing that they were naked, they felt shame. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. So they took the time, they took the effort, because they were ashamed, to make an attempt cover themselves. And just as a side note, I believe their aprons probably covered more than what some people wear today. And they heard the voice of Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. This wasn't unusual. They often heard that. But what was unusual, what had changed, is Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord amongst the trees of the garden. So their sin has caused them to see their nakedness in a different way. Their sin has given them a different attitude toward God. They now are hiding from God. And the Lord called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid. I don't believe that before this they were afraid of God. But again, sin had made a change. And the reason they were afraid was because I was naked. Because I was naked. So you see, their sinful nature caused them to view nakedness completely differently. And I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? No one told them. They just knew. They all of a sudden, for the first time, felt ashamed. So, nakedness, it is true, there was a time when there were no clothes, weren't even needed. But now man is to cover his nakedness because of sin. In Galatians chapter 5, we have the fruit of the flesh. Galatians chapter 5, verse 19. These are the things that are inherited through Adam. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. The first three refer to sexuality. The fourth also refers to sexuality, but can be used in a broader sense. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. So it is in the flesh of man to commit adultery, to commit fornication, uncleanness, which is in moral sense, lasciviousness, that's that which is without restraint. Because of the nature of man, nakedness must be covered. We saw last week that nakedness is condemned throughout the Scripture. Once you leave Genesis 2, verse 25, nakedness is condemned throughout the Word of God. It is a disgraceful thing. It is a dangerous thing because of the flesh of man. I've heard people say, you have two. Well, if they lust after me, that's their problem. Well, that's true. It is their problem. But it's also your problem. If you are dressing in a way that would give them reason, then it's also your problem. So it's not just their problem. Why would you want to dress in a way that would provoke lust? There's only one answer to that, and that, of course, is sinful flesh. Notice in the book of Leviticus, chapter 18, we saw last week that nakedness, again, is to be covered. In Leviticus 18, verses 6 through 19, And also Leviticus 20, verses 17 through 21. We read this phrase repeatedly, that nakedness is not to be uncovered. And though I believe all of these verses that we're about to read speak of committing sinful sexual acts, when it talks about the uncovering of the nakedness in these verses, it's talking about sinful sexual acts. As you read these verses, how shameful the nature of man that God would even put something like this in His Word. But this uncovering nakedness, though it in these references has reference to the sexual act, there's a principle taught here as well. And that is a very simple principle, and that is nakedness is not to be seen. So let's begin. And again, as you read these verses, the fact that God put them in His Word shows how sick, morally corrupt, how disgusting sinful man is. In verse 6, none of you shall approach to any kin, to any that is near of kin to him, to uncover their nakedness. I am the Lord. Now again, to uncover the nakedness refers to the physical act. But there's a principle here that nakedness is not to be seen. The nakedness of thy father or the nakedness of thy mother shalt thou not uncover. That's sick. She is thy mother, thou shalt not uncover her nakedness. The nakedness of thy father's wife shalt thou not uncover. It is thy father's nakedness. Again, this speaks of the physical act. The nakedness of thy sister, the daughter of thy father, or daughter of thy mother, whether she be born at home or born abroad, even their nakedness thou shalt not uncover. The nakedness of thy son's daughter, or of thy daughter's daughter, even that's your grandchildren. Even their nakedness thou shalt not uncover, for theirs is thine own nakedness. The nakedness of thy father's wife's daughter, begotten of thy father, she is thy sister, thou shalt not uncover her nakedness. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy father's sister, that's your aunt, she is thy father's near kinswoman. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy mother's sister, for she is thy mother's near kinswoman. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy father's brother. Thou shalt not approach to his wife, she is thine aunt. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy daughter-in-law, she is thy son's wife. Thou shalt not uncover her nakedness. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy brother's wife, it is thy brother's nakedness. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of a woman and her daughter, neither shalt thou take her son's daughter or her daughter's daughter to uncover her nakedness, for they are her near kinswoman, it is wickedness. Neither shalt thou take a wife to her sister to vex her, to uncover her nakedness, because the other in her lifetime. Also thou shalt not approach unto a woman to uncover her nakedness, as she is put apart for her uncleanness. In chapter 20, verse 17, if a man shall take his sister, his father's daughter, or his mother's daughter, and see her nakedness, and see his nakedness, it is a wicked thing. They see their nakedness, it is a wicked thing, and they shall be cut off in the sight of their people. He hath uncovered his sister's nakedness, he shall bear his iniquity. And if a man shall lie with a woman, having her sickness, and shall uncover her nakedness, he hath discovered her fountain, and she hath uncovered the fountain of her blood, and both of them shall be cut off from their people. And thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy mother's sister, nor of thy father's sister, for he uncovereth his near kin, they shall bear their iniquity. And if a man lie in his with his uncle's wife, he hath uncovered his uncle's nakedness. They shall bear their sin, they shall die childless. And if a man shall take his brother's wife, it is an unclean thing, he hath uncovered his brother's nakedness, they shall be childless. Again, those verses refer to the physical act, reveal how corrupt sinful flesh is. But I believe in principle, there is a teaching there that nakedness is not to be seen. And we're talking family. People say, well, we're going to have a family pool party. Well, I believe the Bible would condemn that. Unless you're going to wear your winter coats, I believe the Bible condemns that. We're not to look upon the nakedness of others, even if it's family. It's a wicked thing. So nakedness is disgraceful. This is also seen from the fact that to purposely look upon nakedness brings the judgment of God. Notice in the book of Habakkuk. The book of Habakkuk. Always have a hard time finding the book of Habakkuk. Chapter 2, verse 15. Woe unto him that giveth his neighbor drink, that puttest thy bottle to him, and makest him drunken also. Okay, so that's one issue. But the purpose of doing this is what we want to address, that thou may lookest on their nakedness. Here something is done, in this case, getting someone drunk, so that with the purpose of looking upon their nakedness. So, one of the things that is condemned here is to purposely look upon nakedness. Now, nowadays, you can't, especially this time of year, you can't go hardly anywhere without seeing nakedness. That can't be helped. I mean, there's some places you need to avoid, of course. You don't need to go. You go to a beach, you can pretty much expect to see nakedness. And may I say, it's not acceptable on the beach any more than it is anywhere else. But to, if you see it, and then you purposely look at it, that's condemned. That's forbidden. When we see nakedness, we're to turn our head. To turn our head. So with all this reference to nakedness, someone is going to ask, not necessarily here, but the question will be asked, what constitutes nakedness? Whose business is it to define nakedness? Your idea of nakedness might be different than my idea of nakedness, they might say. Well, none of that is relevant, because God has already defined what constitutes nakedness. You see, most have the idea that nakedness refers only to no clothing at all. But that notion is not biblically accurate. In fact, it's very inaccurate. The Bible calls inadequate and improper clothing of the body nakedness. Anything that reveals the Bible calls nakedness. Adam and Eve, again, in their attempt to cover their nakedness, sewed fig leaves together, Genesis 3, verse 7. But God still considered them naked. How do you know that? Well, because it says in Genesis 3 and verse 21 that He clothed them. He clothed them. In other words, those fig leaves did not cover their nakedness. The word, notice in Job 22. Job 22. My point is, you can have clothes on and still be naked. Verse 6 says, Thou hast taken a pledge from thy brother for naught, and stripped the naked of their clothing. And stripped the naked of their clothing. Well, if you've got clothing on, in the minds of most folks, you can't be naked. But here there was the stripping of the naked of their clothing. In John chapter 21, verse 7, we have the case of Peter. John 21, verse 7. Therefore, that they're out there fishing, and therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved, which would be John, saith unto Peter, It is the Lord, standing on the shore. And when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him. That is an outer garment. He girt his fisher's coat unto him. Why? For he was naked. And did cast himself into the sea. Now, we must ask, was Peter stark naked on that boat? I don't think so. The fact that he put on his outer garment, the coat, I believe that Peter was only wearing his undergarment. And he was considered naked. He was considered naked. Before he would go to the Lord, he covered himself with a coat. I don't believe that one has to be stark naked to be naked. In Isaiah 47, and Isaiah chapter 47, verses 2 and verse 3. Take the millstones, grind meal, uncover thy locks, make bare the leg. Okay, that's something you would do on purpose. You make bare the leg. He describes this. Uncover the thigh. Verse 3. In light of, make bare the leg, uncover the thigh. Thy nakedness, that is when you make bare the leg and uncover the thigh, thy nakedness shall be uncovered. And then it goes on to say, Yea, thy shame shall be seen. So, one definition of nakedness would be to make bare the thigh. The thigh is from the hips to the knees. That's the thigh. And an uncovered thigh is nakedness. You have clothes on, but an uncovered thigh is nakedness. Well, I don't understand how that could be. Well, once again, you need to have an understanding of the corruption and the perversion of human flesh, of the fleshly nature. And because of that, the thigh is not to be uncovered. And we'll look, we've run out of time, but next week, I want to look at the emphasis that God places upon clothing. God places a lot of emphasis upon clothing. So for people to say, well, it doesn't matter what I wear or how I wear it, well, that's not true. Because God places great emphasis upon clothing. In fact, we see God designing clothing. We see God making clothing. And every time, it covered. The purpose of clothing is to clothe. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to know that. The purpose of clothing is to clothe. The purpose of clothing is to cover. The purpose of clothing is not to reveal. You do not wear clothing to reveal. You wear clothing to cover. And if clothing does not cover, then it is improper clothing. Again, unless, again, that God has set some bounds, and those bounds are husband and wife. That's not husband and wife out on the beach, because now you've involved other people. That's husband and wife alone. That's what that is. So again, God places great emphasis upon clothing. Let's look to the Lord. Word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we again thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, Lord, for the plainness of your word. And we just pray that you would put a hedge about all of us. Protect us, Lord, from the evil that's all around us. Lord, we just pray that you would be with us as we worship you, that you would help us, Lord, to honor and glorify you. We pray for the lost, that you'd speak to their hearts and open their hearts to salvation. Lord, draw each one of us closer to thee this day. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.